Welcome to Radio Who, What, Why. I'm Jeff Sheckman. Although never mentioned in the debate on Monday night, the country has, to its credit, shown real concern for issues surrounding veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. Unfortunately, our concern and our compassion to those veterans has, like most things, unintended consequences. By focusing on vets who are broken, disoriented, overwhelmed, and facing hardship, all important concerns, we are detracting from the need to emphasize that so many returning veterans have uniquely employable skills, stability, and wisdom that would be a great asset for any company or any effort. So how do we square the circle? How do we focus on needs and opportunities for veterans? That's what we're going to talk about today with my guest, Douglas Wilbur. Douglas Wilbur is a doctoral student at Missouri University School of Journalism. He's done a study recently on the way the media looks at veterans, and it is my pleasure to welcome him here to Radio Who, What, Why. Doug, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Talk a little bit about what motivated you to begin to look at this issue, the way the media has been portraying veterans, and both the concern that it's shown, which is very real, but really the dangers of the opportunities that it takes away.
I'm a combat veteran, 3 years in Iraq, and I am a member, also a member of a number of veterans groups. And when I was querying people who do communications for these organizations, you know, what are they basing their PR campaigns on? What assumptions are they using? What's the foundation of this? I mean, they have a pretty clear idea of where they want to go, and they have a pretty clear idea of what they want to accomplish. But they don't really seem to have a firm understanding of why they plan the way they do, the assumptions that they're planning on. So what I, just through engaging them through dialogue, I kind of got the sense that, one, they didn't really know, but it was basically that veterans were being framed as psychotic or really bad, you know, in a really bad manner. For instance, you know, they had the, up there in California, a police officer who was a veteran knew Dorner, and he went right. And he shot some people. So there are some, you know, negative coverage of veterans, and they kind of assumed that this was what they were combating. So, you know, I asked myself, well, is this true? Is this an actual fact, or is it an incorrect assumption? So I went out and did research to solve this problem.
And as you went out there to start to do this research, what did you find in terms of the way veterans were viewing this and the way they were perceiving the way they were being covered by the media?
Generally, they were perceived that they were being covered hostily, basically in the same manner. Although that's not necessarily based on any in-depth, thoughtful analysis on their part. They were just kind of sticking along with the assumption, and they were reading the headlines of this and that vet doing bad things, and just kind of inferring, well, they just think we're all nuts. So that's kind of what they seem to assume.
The veterans that were out there looking for jobs, trying to get their lives back together after coming back from Iraq and or Afghanistan, to what extent did they see this perception as an impediment to what they were trying to accomplish?
They did perceive it. I mean, I can't speak for all veterans. I only know what, you know, my circle of friends have told me. They've had some instances of discrimination. And they've also had some, you know, opportunities made to them because people were overwilling to overcome those stereotypes. So, for instance, some veterans believed that they were, who did not have PTSD, believed that they were not capable of becoming police officers, for instance, because they were told that this or that department wouldn't hire vets because they were afraid of PTSD. When in actuality, that's not the case. A lot of police departments were actively recruiting vets because, as it turned out, they were making better police officers than the civilian recruits. And they were actually less likely to use, I got this from police officers, they were less likely to use force because they had been in situations where they had to make a decision to shoot or not shoot. So it wasn't a novel thing for them. So this is kind of a stereotype, I think, that hurt them. And there are others. This, and the stereotypes in their mind might be prohibiting them from or discouraging them from pursuing certain career paths that they might want to take.
Did they have concerns that, in fact, part of what they were arguing was to take the focus away from the veterans that, had problems or that were disoriented or were suffering from extreme PTSD, that they also understood that there was a real need to focus on, the needs of those that had issues, but that they didn't want it to impact their lives.
I would say generally, yes. That's a correct assumption.
As you looked at the way the media has portrayed this, talk a little bit about what you found in terms of, the stories and the focus.
It was my central question was, does the mainstream media frame veterans as, crazy? Is that true or not? And it's not true. They don't do that. However, they do frame veterans in a manner that's not always beneficial to the veterans, but it's not really necessarily always bad. For instance, in when I was in Iraq, I dealt with a lot of reporters. And while they were often very hostile to the Bush administration, through my personal experience, they were always very cordial and friendly with the soldiers. And I don't think that they had any personal animosity towards the soldiers. A lot of them had a great respect. So I kind of picked that sense up when I was doing my research here. So, for instance, like instead of one of the dominant frames was the broken veteran frame, and the broken veteran frame is basically says that the veterans who come back from the trauma, they're overwhelmed by physical and psychological injuries, and they really can't function, which is fundamentally different than saying they're going full psycho and they're living under bridges and they're doing all these heinous activities. It's more like Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and he can't be put back together again, which is not as negative as like a psycho frame. But it's not completely helpful. Another frame that I found was kind of the disoriented veteran frame. And this frame is where the media portrayed veterans who were just kind of cast out of the military and they were just when they entered the civilian world, they were kind of disoriented. They didn't know what they wanted to do. They're kind of lost and adrift, floating around. And there is some truth to this because after you've been in a highly structured environment where you're serving a purpose that's greater than yourself, everything you do is very important because when you're in combat, even the smallest actions on your part can get somebody killed or can help you win the mission. If you mess up on guard duty, somebody could get killed and so on and so forth. So there, and the military also gives low ranking soldiers a lot of power and a lot of responsibility, much more than their civilian counterparts would have. And then of course there's a sense of team. They're in a tight knit team. They have a sense of purpose. And then when they get out of the military, they tend to lose this sense of purpose. And that's kind of a psychological shock, I would have to say. And it takes time for a veteran to readjust to that. So that frame, they framed him in that manner. And while that's not the most helpful frame for veterans, I would say that one is probably a bit true, but not of all veterans.
When you talk about this framing within the context of the media, to what extent are you talking about the media? Are we talking about just news? Are we talking about news and entertainment? Because certainly within movies or television, there are also many of these portrayals that really represent these frames that you're talking about.
Well, this study is focused specifically on what you would call elite newspapers and regional elite newspapers. The reason why I chose that was because congressmen and state legislatures and people who set policy will read the New York Times. Congressmen from Texas will read the Dallas Morning News more than likely. And state legislators, governors will read these papers. So I focused specifically on newspapers because research shows that that's the best way to analyze what information is getting directly to the decision makers. There are other sources that I could have analyzed, but for the sake of this study, I just focused on newspapers.
Mm-hmm. Is it your sense, I mean, having looked at this and outside the scope of the specific study that you've done, is it your sense that this problem is being contributed to by kind of mainstream entertainment, by television, movies, etc.?
It could be, yes. Yes, I would say it could be. Some of the movies that I've seen are, depictions of veterans are are good, and some of them are actually quite bad. For instance, something on the blacklist where soldiers, former soldiers, were recruited as mercenaries and they're doing bad things. I mean, I personally don't know of any veteran who's served as a criminal enterprise. So I think, yeah, there can be some, and it depends on the TV show, who's writing it, but there is some, yes.
Are there any efforts that you've seen that are efforts to create counterframes to this to emphasize the stability and employability of veterans?
There are, yes, identified three. However, when you do a counterframe, you want the counterframe to be of similar strength to the frame, and you want to have, you know, strong counterframes. And the problem is that identified six main frames. There are only three counterframes, and they weren't as strong as they could have been. So, for instance, one of the counterframes was the healing frame. And basically, the healing frame invites audiences to perceive veterans. Yes, they're broken. They got all these psychological issues, but they're healing. And healing implies that there's hope. It's positive in the sense that they can get better. So it doesn't necessarily counter like the broken veteran frame. It just kind of mitigates it and makes it less bad. Another frame was the perfectly, you know, not abnormal or perfectly normal frame. And the fact is, many veterans are perfectly healthy and normal. But this frame was frankly very weak. It barely met the minimum number of times for me to even include it in the study. And it's just not being pushed, you know, aggressively enough, even though it's actually the truth. And, you know, one incidence of this is, I think during, after Ferguson or one of these riots, somebody was saying that, well, these cops are, you know, they're getting out the streets of Iraq and they're coming back here and they're waging war on our streets. And that's kind of a ignorant way to look at it. My interactions with police officers who are not veterans tell me that the veteran police officers are actually very good. And they don't have PTSD, and there's not really anything that would cause them to be bad police officers, and quite good. So that's kind of a failure of that stereotype. Was a failure. That's a stereotype, and the counterframe was ineffective in challenging that.
Have there been a sufficient amount of stories or an insufficient amount that really look at what PTSD is, particularly as it relates to veterans, and what it really means for those that are returning?
The research that other people have done just on mental illness in general is basically people who have mental illnesses are framed very negatively in the news and in TV and in the movies. So as far as PTSD, I would say I haven't seen very many that discuss PTSD in kind of an honest manner.
Talk a little bit about your own personal emotional reaction and those of other veterans that you talk to when they see these stories.
Well, yes, it varies. So, for instance, these two shooters that we recently had, the police shooters, the one in Dallas and then the one in, Arkansas.
Right.
But they were both combat veterans. And that caused a lot of hurt within the veterans community. One, because, you know, they're making us look bad. And then it also ranges from, well, you know, the VA failed them. The country failed them. These kids should have, they were radicalized somehow by somebody when they were, one of them might have had PTSD. And he should have been taken care of properly by the VA. And if that had happened, then he probably wouldn't have gone on this rampage. So it does, it can hurt, I guess it can hurt your self-esteem a little bit. But, you know, by and large, veterans, are, you know, if combat veterans have been through a lot, they're generally very tough-minded, and it pisses them off, it makes them mad, but they'll just march through their day, and it's not really going to affect their life that much.
What about their families? What about their families?
Families, that's interesting, because the study did find a family hardship frame in this, where the journalists were very, and I didn't expect to find this, but basically the journalists were very sympathetic towards the families of wounded veterans. And they wrote about it, and they wrote about the hardships of the veterans had to face. And These stories often were very human interest stories. They're very personal and they're very accurate, because if a wounded veteran, if a guy is wounded, he's lost his arms and his legs, he has a very limited ability to do things. He certainly can't vacuum the house, can't do chores. He play with his kids, but he's going to have a hard time. So the family, the burden of his care is placed upon the family to the most extent. And, the VA will give him medical care, but they often don't provide enough support to the actual families themselves. So if you have a very severely injured veteran and he has a choice, you either put him in a nursing home or he can stay home with his family. Nursing home will probably end up killing him early. So it's better to keep him with his family and his children, where he's more likely to live longer and have a happier life. But on the other hand, somebody still has to take care of him if he can't get to the toilet. And that person is usually the wife. And in some cases, it's the mother. Like, for instance, I have actually live in San Antonio, Texas, my permanent residence. And I have a house down there. And there are a large number of veterans in my community. And there's this one guy, he's very young, and he is severely burned. I mean, horrible third degree burns all over his body. And his 50-year-old mother is primarily responsible for taking care of him. Now, granted, he's not as intense as like an infant, taking care of an infant, but still, 50-year-old woman has a hard time dealing with that. And then, of course, she spent so much time taking care of him, she really can't have a full-time job. So there was a sense that with these severe veterans, there's a lot of sacrifices because the wife can't have a full-time job, and it creates financial hardships and a whole variety of other hardships.
Is there a difference in these stories and these frames we've been talking about with respect to physical damage versus mental damage, physical limitations versus mental limitations, in the way these stories are reported and the way they play out in the public consciousness?
There is, but they're not separated out in a sufficient manner. They don't delineate. They kind of just lump. I mean, he has PTSD, but he also has this or that. A lot of times they don't disentangle the physical stuff from the mental stuff. And the times that they do discuss solely the mental part, it's usually associated with he's an alcoholic because he has PTSD and he's living under a bridge. In many cases, veterans were portrayed better when the reporter kind of packaged all the problems into one, rather than just talking about just the mental, which then included a whole list of bad things, trouble he might have gotten in.
Talk a little bit about whether you see any change in this over time. Has it gotten better? Has it gotten worse? Does the narrative just continue the same? What are you seeing in terms of trends?
Well, I see differences in different types of news outlets. So, for instance, now I only studied newspapers because I was concerned about, what are the policymakers, where are they getting their information from and when they make decisions about the VA. But magazines actually seem to have an overall better depiction of veterans. So, for instance, I think there was one guy who works at Time who has written a number of stories on veterans and the great things that they've done, and like Mission Continues, who was founded by Eric Greitens, and he's now running for, I think, governor of Missouri. And I'm a former member of that group. The charity that he started, and then Team Rubicon, which goes out and to disaster areas. So I tend to see more positive stories in news magazines than I do in newspapers.
Douglas Wilbur, I thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for listening and joining us here on Radio Who, What, Why. I hope you join us next week for another Radio Who, What, Why podcast. I'm Jeff Shekman. If you like this podcast, please feel free to share and help others find it by rating and reviewing it on iTunes. You can also support this podcast and all the work we do by going to whowhatwhy.org/donate.